Okay, I want to start over here in chapter 8 of Hebrews, and this is so important. Every high priest, this starts in verse 3 of chapter 8, every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer, and that's Jesus. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest. For there are already men who offer gifts prescribed by the law. Now, notice what it's saying. It's telling you the difference between the heavenly ministry of Christ as the high priest of our faith and the men of earth. Now, we're going to see something in here that's real interesting. Repetition. And I want you to keep this in mind. Repetition according to the earthly. Because the pattern had to be continually displayed. But Jesus is the once for all time that the pattern speaks of. Let's look at three different things. Let's look first at priests, as it speaks of here. The priests were died often and had to be replaced. A continual cycle of priests from the Levites. They had to be replaced, one after the other. Repetition. Sacrifices had to be made often, constantly, every year, every day. Repetition, sacrifices, where Jesus is that one sacrifice. So priests and sacrifices. The cleansing of the law had to be repeated every day, continually. Jesus is our one priest. He is our one cleansing. He is our one sacrifice. We've got to start to see the difference between the physical and the spiritual, how the physical testifies to the spiritual until the spiritual gets here. And this is why we needed a new covenant and a new priest. A new covenant that is forever and a priest that is forever. With a sacrifice that's once for all and forever. This is what our gospel is based on. All right? So every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest. For there are already men who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and a shadow of what is in heaven. It's a copy and a shadow. It's not the reality. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and a shadow of what is in heaven. And this is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle. And we know what the tabernacle is. It's that big tent that served as a temporary temple in which the Holy of Holies and the Ark of the Covenant was housed. He was told to make everything according to the pattern. See to it that you... He was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle. See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mount. But the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is a mediator is superior to the old one. And it is founded on better promises. And why are these promises better? Because they are eternal. For if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God had found fault with the people, and he said, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel." And this was always there, right in front of them. The time is coming when I'll make a new covenant. All those keepers of the law and all those mutilators of the flesh and all those who are holding on to the shadow and the copy, they need to hear this. Because it's right there in the law that they claim to uphold. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And it will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. What covenant was that he made with them? It was the law. It was the law given on Mount Sinai. And they're told very clearly, I'll make a new covenant, and it will not be like the covenant I made with them when I led them by the hand out of Egypt. because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts, and I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. And no longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they'll all know me. And this goes to the heart of it. Jesus said in John 17:3, this is eternal life, because this is the eternal covenant, that you know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. It's about who you know, not what you know. Now I want to show you the difference. He said, I'm going to make a new covenant, and it's not going to be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them out of the hand to lead them out to Egypt. That was man's chance, according to the flesh, to show the world and to show God whether or not they could please him according to the flesh. And they failed, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them. That was their one opportunity. That was man's one opportunity in this corrupt flesh to prove whether or not we could actually serve God and please him according to the flesh. And we failed. Israel failed. They can't please God. So, now that you see that you can't please me according to the flesh, now I'm going to make a new covenant and set a one on the outside of you that can do nothing but judge you. You realize that? That a covenant on the outside of you can do nothing but judge you? Because it's not a part of you. And you're not a part of it. You see it? It's not of the heart. It's not of your nature. That's why it's outside of you. You're not a part of it. But now the covenant's different. I'll put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. And I'll be their God. And they'll be my people. Not because men tried and made God so, but because God made it so. Not by flesh, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. This shows us that no flesh can boast. This shows us that it's not of a man. That it was God's mercy to us. That it was God's will to fix this. That it was God reaching out to us, not us reaching out to God. We had our one chance to show God whether or not we could please him according to this corrupt flesh. And we proved ourselves unfaithful and unfit for the kingdom of God. We proved ourselves all to be sinners and lost. Now God says, now that you see the truth of that, I'll do it. And who'll get the glory for it? God. A covenant that's on the outside of you, you're not a part of. It's only a covenant that's on the inside of you where you can share of the same nature. I will be their God and they will be my people. I'll put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts, and I'll be their God. And no longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they'll all know me, because he lives in us. He has given us that deposit of his Spirit that speaks louder than any theologian and says, yes, you are my children. Because I've made you so. And I provided. For I will forgive their wickedness. And I'll remember their sins no more. And by calling this covenant new, he's made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete is aging and will soon disappear. What covenant is he talking about? The one he gave them when he led them by the hand out of Egypt. The Ten Commandments and the 613 ordinances of the law. That covenant. And what is aging, it's obsolete by calling this covenant new. And what is aging, what is obsolete, will soon disappear. That covenant on the outside of you could never save you. Now, the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. This is all figure. It's all shadow. It's all a picture, remember, of what is heavenly. It's only the picture, though. A tabernacle, a tent, was set up, and in this first room was a lampstand, the table, and the consecrated bread that is called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a room called the most holy place, which had the golden altar of incense, the gold coven ark of the covenant. The ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and stone tablets of the covenant. And above the ark was the cherubim of the glory, overshadowing the atonement cover. But we cannot discuss these things in detail for now. But suffice it to say, you may not understand the arrangements of all these things. You may not understand the arrangements of that showbread, which is a picture of Christ, the body of Christ. You may not understand the arrangements that table it sat on as the altar. You may not understand this second room of the Holy of Holies and why the Ark of the Covenant was in there. But remember, it all has meaning of something that is heavenly and that exists there in the heaven. You know, I see so many people worried about the literal Ark of the Covenant that was in this copy of the temple. But remember, it itself is only a copy of something that's truly in heaven. Another Ark of the Covenant that is the true. Which one are you looking for? Which one do you value? The physical testifies to the spiritual, and through this new covenant, you have become a member of the spiritual. God seeks those who will worship in spirit and in truth. But we can't discuss these things in detail for now, the apostle says. But when everything had been arranged like this, remember, as Moses was told, be careful to build and arrange everything according to the pattern. Because the pattern testifies to the truth of something that's not seen. So when everything had been arranged like this, the priest entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. But only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year. And this was shows that only, and never without blood. And this shows about Jesus entering in, doesn't it? With his blood. Not to the copy of the sanctuary, but into the reality. And he entered once, not just once a year, but once for all time. But only the high priest entered the inner room, and only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people, had committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed, as long as the first tabernacle was still standing. And what does this mean to you? What does this mean to you? Are we just talking about how the shadows portray the heavenlies? What does it mean to you that Jesus entered in there once by his own blood into the reality of the sanctuary? It means that through that one sacrifice, a holy way was opened so you can enter into communion in the most holy place where you were never allowed before. Because God cannot commune with sin. But Jesus' blood is enough to get you there. His blood is enough to get you there. He entered in by means of his own blood, and therefore opened the way into the most holy place for you. But yet we see people not using that, not taking advantage of that, not entering in. Trusting other men to be mediators and organizations to be mediators. And still playing in the copies of things when we have a mediator who has entered in and has opened the way for you to come to know God. Not just know about God, but to know Him. And the Spirit was showing by that this is the way into the most holy place that had not yet been disclosed. It's only disclosed through Jesus. And it wasn't disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was still standing. Because the physical must pass away in order for the spiritual to take its place. This is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and the sacrifices being offered in those copies were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. They're only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings. External regulations. Because that covenant, remember, it was external. You were on the outside of it. But now it's on inside of you, the new one. And it applied until the time of the new order, the new covenant. And the new covenant is now in force through the blood and body of Jesus deposited in the heavenlies. Amen? When Christ came as a high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle. That is, not man-made. That is to say, not part of this creation. He didn't enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered in the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Not once a year, not something that has to be repeated over and over, but once for all time. One priest, one sacrifice, forever. He entered in the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having attained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of the heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them, so that they are only outwardly clean. However, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from the acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. The law could clean you up ceremonially according to the outside, but it had to be done over and over again, because the outside was always getting dirty. That's because the filth didn't start on the outside, it started on the inside. Jesus, then, the blood of bulls and goats could never cleanse your inside. Jesus cleansed your inside. He washed the inside of the cup for you. Amen? And it only took once. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the eternal inheritance. An eternal inheritance. He has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. This is the beginning of it for you. You've got to see the difference. You've got to understand exactly who Jesus is in your life. He has opened up a holy way for you to return to God. He is the bishop and overseer of your souls, as Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2. Through his stripes we are healed. He has returned us to the bishop and the overseer of our souls. He is our faithful high priest. And through that you can enter into that sanctuary, to the most holy place, not the copy, the reality, and come to know God, who is most holy. And unless you do that, it doesn't matter what you know about God. It doesn't matter how many rules you think you're keeping. Unless you enter in and come to know Him, you'll be lost. Because salvation is not based on what you know, but on who you know. And if you don't enter in for yourself, the responsibility of the believer, then you are saying that Jesus' blood was wasted on your account. And woe to him who tramples underfoot the only Son of God. The purpose of his blood is to rejoin you to God in that communion that Adam lost. And now even a better way, it's in you. So it can't be taken from you. But what happens if you never make use of it? Then you've wasted the body and blood of Christ. There's a lot of people who call themselves Christian, and they listen to men and mediators of the flesh and institutions, and they learn a lot about what men think about God, but they never enter in for themselves. And this generation is full of those Pharisees who won't enter in themselves and keep those who would from entering. And you've got to know the difference. And you can't know the difference if you don't enter in to that relationship. You want to know the will of God? Enter in. You have a free pass to the most holy place. But it wasn't free. It's free for you. But it wasn't free for Christ. It cost heaven all it had to give to get you there. Do you have confidence in that sacrifice, that it is enough to get you there? That's your faith. Enter in through faith and come to know God. It's a good place to stop for now. Doesn't matter where we go in this testament, it always comes back to you knowing God through the sacrifice of Jesus. Duh. It always comes back to that. And that's what this church is going to be built on. That relationship. That's how we will enter in together and be of one mind. Because God will tell us all the same thing. Then you see it's not what you know, but who you know. And what you know directly proceeds from who you know. Yeah, and blessed be you, because flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Praise God. Yeah, you have Jesus, you have the Father also. Please, questions or comments? Please, Remnant Man for God, go ahead.
Being our high priest and entering Holy of Holies once and for all.